Let's open up our Bibles in Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Page 677, your Pew Bible. Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beast. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has set out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Let us pray one more time. Dear Lord, we ask you now that you open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts to receive your word. With diligence, we might practice your word and repent of our sins. Please be with us in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever received an invitation that were two invitations that were mutually exclusive? Two invitations to two different events, both on the same day and at the same time? In cases like that, what do you do? Usually, we think through it and we consider many things before we choose one of the invitations. For example, who is the host and what this person means to us or to our family? How far from home it will be? Which kind of food will they serve? And after thinking through all those things, and probably many others, we choose which one we will attend. Our text this evening is dealing with this exact same issue. It deals with two invitations. There are two different ladies inviting you. Both are calling you to attend a banquet. And you need to decide which of those two banquets you will attend. So our theme this evening would be two invitations, one decision. Two invitations, one decision. We will consider first Lady Wisdom's banquet in verses 1 to 6. Second, Dame Folly's banquet, verses 13 to 18. And third, the fear of the Lord, verses 7 to 12. But before we get into the text, we need to take a look at the context and the structure of the book. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon to his young son in order for him to become a wise man and a wise king. So the first nine chapters of Proverbs are a big introduction to the whole book. And in this introduction, we see that the theme of the book, the main theme of the book is highlighted in the beginning of the introduction and in the end of the introduction. So chapter 1, verse 7, you read, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And also in the end of this introduction, which is chapter 9, verse 10, we see again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And from chapter 10 to chapter 31, we find the famous one verses proverbs that are the application of this message and the introduction. So chapter 9 is a closing chapter to this first section of the book of Proverbs, to this introduction, where Solomon will give us a summary of what he thought in the last 8 chapters. So what exactly does he teach us in these first 8 chapters of the book? I believe his main focus is to display to his son that there are only 2 ways in life. Either you are a wise person or a foolish person. Either you fear the Lord or you don't. Either you serve God or you serve idols. There are only 2 options: the way that leads to heaven and the way that leads to hell. And how Solomon pictures this truth is what I found most interesting. He uses the 2 characters that we find here in chapter 9. I would call them Lady Wisdom and Dame Folly. Both of them are characters that were already introduced in the book from chapter 1 to chapter 8. We have many references to them and how to deal with each. So basically, what Solomon is doing here is using the relationship between marriage and adultery to convey the idea of faithfulness to God and idolatry. So both invitations of Lady Wisdom and Dame Folly are nothing more than an invitation to live according to God's way in one hand, and in the other, an invitation to live according to the devil's way. And the text requires our decision. What will you decide? To serve God or to serve the idols? To be faithful or to be adulterous? Life or death? Which banquet will you attend? Verses 1, 2, and 3, we see Lady Wisdom's preparation for this banquet. She's pictured here as a hard-working woman, just like the woman in Proverbs 31. She herself builds her own house, and it is not a small one. It is a huge house, a monumental house with 7 pillars, a house where there is a plenty of room for anyone who wants to come in. Verse 2 says that she slaughtered her beasts. So she not only built a great house, but also prepared a great meal. She prepared a meal full of good and fresh meat, also with delicious mixture of wine, which is probably mixed with some spices or other things to taste even better. So Lady Wisdom is this industrious woman. She's diligent, an active woman that made everything to offer the best that she can to those who are passing by her house. Now notice who Lady Wisdom is calling for her banquet. Verse 4. Whoever is simple, to him who lacks sense. Lady Wisdom is calling for those who are simple, those who are ignorant, those who are naive, but not intellectually ignorant. It's morally ignorant and morally naive. The word simple here is one who is, it means that someone is who is undecided, doubtful, someone who is undetermined, and someone that can be easily influenced either for good or for evil. Remember that originally Solomon is writing to his son, to his young son. And what is one of the main characteristics of youth? Immaturity, simplicity, inexperience. Young people usually are in a process of getting wisdom, in a process of getting understanding. So sometimes they are easily carried about with every wind of doctrine. But also young people have a lot of important decisions to make in a short amount of time. Studies, friendship, work, marriage, and so on. And usually they don't have all that it takes to make a wise decision. And that's the reason why God gave us parents to instruct us in those issues. However, In a certain way, not only the youth can be considered as simple and naive. In the context of the text or of our text this evening, also all those who did not enter through the narrow gate can be categorized as simple and naive, whatever your age might be. If you're still undecided whether to serve God or to serve idols, you are ignorant and you lack understanding, you lack sense. You are this simple one described here in the text. Therefore, this invitation is for you also, my brother and sister. You who do not believe in the Lord Jesus and do not put your trust in him completely. Turn in here. That's what the text says. Come to the path of life. Come to the path of wisdom. Don't go to your own way, but turn to God's way. Stop living your life of sin and live for Christ. Lady Wisdom is inviting you this evening to supper with her. Verse 5 says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed." Is that a familiar language to you? Have you ever heard this invitation before or something similar in the Bible? I remember Isaiah 55 when the Bible says, "Come, everyone who thirsts, come, buy and eat without money and without price." Dear congregation, this is the invitation of the free grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus did all the work for your salvation. He obeyed the whole law. He endured the punishment for your sins. He died and he rose again from the dead. He has done everything. It is finished. And now he offers all his righteousness freely to you. Freely. Likewise, Lady Wisdom built her house, slaughtered her animals, and set everything up. You just need to enter through her door. The table is set, the food is cooked, and the work is done. You just need to come and enjoy the delicious meal that has been offered to you. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Those who eat this bread will not be hungry anymore. Those who drink of this wine will be never thirsty again, because the gospel fulfills all our needs. Our needs for acceptance, our needs for love, our need for forgiveness, for grace, and any other need. Once we accept this invitation and eat and drink the bread and wine, we become one with our Savior through the Holy Spirit by faith. John 6, 53 says, "Unless we eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, we have no life in ourselves." To eat and to drink means to be intimately united, intimately related. That's the invitation of Lady Wisdom, to enter her house and eat at her table. Again, this is an expression of communion, an expression of closeness, of intimacy. When we eat and drink, we are becoming one with our Savior and intimately united with him by faith. But notice that the invitation of Lady Wisdom is not just come and eat. It is also verse 6. "Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight." Verses 5 and 6 are just one single invitation. So although all we need to do is to accept the invitation, mere acceptance is not everything. I'm not saying that we need to be holy before we accept Jesus, but by accepting this invitation, we are automatically embracing the whole of the Christian life. Christianity is not only to believe in Jesus. True Christianity includes repentance and growth in grace and in obedience. That's what we call sanctification. Those who accept the invitation and put their trust in Christ will undoubtedly live a life of repentance and obedience, a life of sanctification, a life of growth in grace. It cannot be otherwise. Westminster Shorter Catechism question and answer 85 put it this way: what does God require of us that we may escape his wrath and curse due to us for sin? Simply saying, he's asking how to avoid hell and go to heaven. And the answer: to escape the wrath and curse of God due to us for sin, God requires of us faith in Jesus, repentance unto life, with the diligent use of all the outward means of grace, which are prayer, reading of the Word, preaching of the Bible, the sacraments, the communion of saints, and so on. Those things are always together in the life of the believer. And this is what we find here in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6. Live your simple ways, which means repent of your sins, abandon your old wicked lifestyle, forsake your old self. This is a call to repentance. Live your simple ways. And also in verse 6, walk in the way of insight, which means live your life walking through the way of obedience. Live your everyday life walking continually in a godly manner, in a godly way. This is what happens to those who come into Lady Wisdom's house and eat at her table. It is impossible to come to Christ and not abandon your sin. It is impossible to come to Christ and not grow in grace. Dear congregation, what is the truth about your soul tonight? If you say that you believe in Jesus, but you do not forsake your simple ways, probably you have never entered to Lady Wisdom's house. Now, as I come to my second point, let us consider verses 13 to 18, Dame Folly's banquet. She is a counterfeit of Lady Wisdom. She's the exact opposite of Lady Wisdom. First of all, she's loud. And the meaning here is that she is rowdy, she's clamorous and noisy. It is a negative word to show how unruly and turbulent this woman is. But she is also seductive, says the text. But a better translation would be innocent and simple, the same word that we saw earlier. She herself is simple. She herself lacks wisdom. She claims to be something, but actually she is nothing. She is in the exact same position as those who go after her, without sense, without wisdom, without the knowledge and understanding of the Holy One. So she knows nothing. This means that she's not in a position to help anyone. Nonetheless, she's calling passers-by as she was someone important, as she knew something. But all that she does is to be seated and nothing more. While Lady Wisdom is industrious and work a lot before calling people to come, what does Dame Folly do? She does absolutely nothing. She's lazy, she's careless and idle. She's sitting and that's it. And she calls people with the same words as Lady Wisdom. Look at verse 16. It's the exact same words of verse 3. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. And to him who lacks sense, the exact same words, the exact same calling, the exact same invitation for the same kind of people, the simple ones. Those who have not yet decided whether to serve God or to serve the idols. Know that until now, both invitations are very similar. Both women are sitting in the high places of the city, and both are calling the same category of people with the same words in the same way. But now there is an abrupt change in the invitation of Dame Folly. Look at verse 17 and the content of this invitation. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. On one hand, we have Lady Wisdom offering the work of her own hands, of her own efforts, a lavish banquet with fresh meat, with bread, with a delicious mixture of wine. And on the other hand, we have Dame Folly merely with water and bread. But actually, she's offering water and bread that were stolen. Logically speaking, it is an easy choice to do, right? Of course we would attend Lady Wisdom's invitation because it's a far better dinner. So how is that possible that anyone would accept Dame Folly's invitation? Why should anyone listen to Dame Folly and partake in a feast with stolen food when Lady Wisdom is also calling to a delicious meal? Well, the reason why many people give ears to Dame Folly's invitation is that she appeals to our sinful nature. She appeals to what is desirable to our flesh. So, bread and water are not all that good, right? But stolen water and bread eaten in secret is a totally different picture, isn't it? Dame Folly knows that our hearts are not always logical in our decisions. So she appeals to what can entice our sinful hearts. She appeals to our fleshly senses. Brothers and sisters, Dame Folly appeals to the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life. How many sins have you committed, not for the pleasure of the sin in itself, but just because it was something secret? Something forbidden. Even in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve had no sin in their hearts, they were tempted in a very similar way. Genesis 3:6 says, "So when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate." They desire the forbidden fruit. In the midst of a huge garden with countless trees, each with probably delicious fruits as well, they choose exactly the one that was forbidden. Dame Folly knows nothing, but one thing that she does know is how to entice passersby to come to her home and partake of her stolen water. And this image here of water is referring to the intimate relationship between a man and a woman, as we see in Proverbs 5. Stolen water is an image of illegitimate sexual experience. The image we have here is Dame Folly inviting simple and naive men to stop by her home and enjoy a forbidden intimacy, just like in chapter 7. That's the same image that we have in chapter 7. Dame Folly entices passersby to sit at her table and to commit adultery with her in secret. Dame Folly wants you to be unfaithful to your spouse. Dame Folly wants you to break the covenant with your God and go after her. Just like we said in the beginning, marriage and adultery as a parallel to faithfulness to God and idolatry. We see this in chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Who forsakes, talking about the adulterous woman, who forsakes the companion of her youth, adultery, and forgets the covenant of her God, idolatry. Notice also what Dame Folly says about the stolen water, that it is sweet. And she is not lying. Indeed, the stolen water is sweet. Sins, in a certain sense, are delightful to our fallen nature. The problem with that statement is that she's not telling the whole truth about stolen water. Yes, stolen water is sweet at the moment we drink it. However, afterwards, it becomes exceedingly bitter and bitter. Think about King David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He lived in this sin for a considerable amount of time, but to live with it was a heavy weight for his soul. At the moment, it was so sweet, but right after, it became bitter and bitter. Look at his own words in Psalm 32, 3 and 4. For when I kept silent about his sins, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength would dried up as by the heat of summer. Sin may look desirable at first, but at the end leads to death. Dame Folly's invitation may be similar to Lady Wisdom's invitation, but in reality, each one of them provides completely opposite prizes. But now look at verse 18 and see what Dame Folly really offers in the end of the day. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Death is the end of the road for those who follow Dame Folly, for those who follow the way of foolishness. If you don't forsake your sins now, you will be in hell for all eternity. If you don't abandon your sin, your simple ways, you will be dead eternally. And the irony of this section is that those who heard the voice of Dame Folly were aiming to sin in secrecy. But the real secret that Dame Folly is hiding is that her guests are all dead. That is the great secret of Dame Folly, that those who hear her voice and accept her invitation cannot turn back again. Those who are outside Dame Folly's house don't know that secret. But once they get in, they will never be able to come back. As Proverbs 2, verse 19 says, none who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. This is what the word Sheol represents here in first place. The grave, the pit. Once you are physically dead, you cannot be alive again. But it also represents hell. Once you get there, you cannot leave anymore. But this way of speaking may suggest that those who accept Dame Folly's invitation do not want to go there and just happen to be trapped in her snares. But this is not how it works usually. Remember that here in Proverbs, we are dealing with poetry. We cannot push the poetry, the metaphor, too far. Yes, there are many men and women who are deceived and end up in Dame Folly's house without even realizing it. But the majority of those who accept Dame Folly's invitation, they want to be there. They want to sin in secret. They want to live in the way of foolishness. They want to live in the delight of their sins. And here, in verses 7 to 12, Solomon describes those kind of people, those who want to live in their sins, as scoffers. They are mockers who do not fear the Lord. And this leads us to our third point, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the theme that connects verses 7 to 12 in the middle of chapter 9 with the rest of the chapter. In case you don't know whether you can be classified as a wise or foolish, Solomon gives the most basic characteristics of the way of wisdom and of the way of foolishness, so that you can conclude by yourself in which way you are now, whether in the way of wisdom or in the way of folly. He will develop this exhaustively from chapter 10 to 31 with countless specific examples. But here, Solomon laid down the very basics to distinguish which invitation you have already accepted. Verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." This is the foundation of the whole book of Proverbs, the foundation of all true wisdom. Those two things, knowledge and fear, fear and knowledge are inseparably linked to each other. Because experiential and personal knowledge of God and Jesus always results in fearing Him. And fearing God is not only worship, adoration, and awe, but also living according to His way. Loving what He loves, hating what He hates, walking in the way Jesus walked, in obedience, in submission to His Father, to His law, and in obedience to His will, to the will of the Father. There's a lot more that could be said in this topic of the fear of the Lord, but what the text says next is how the fear of the Lord is made practical, at least in our text. Look at verse 8. "Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you." The bottom line is that the way you react to correction or rebuking will reveal whether you are a scoffer or a wise man, whether you feared the Lord or not, whether you are a Lady Wisdom's guest or a Dame Folly's guest. If someone comes to you to rebuke you and your sins and your sinful ways and actions, how do you react? Do you get aggressive? Do you get defensive? Do you begin to excuse yourself? What is your reaction when confronted with your sin? How well do you take correction from a brother and a sister in Christ? How well do you take correction from the pulpit, from your pastor? How does your heart respond when the pastor accurately describes your sinful ways from the pulpit? Your answer to those questions can say a lot about what is going on in your heart today. But if you rebuke a wise man, the text says, what will be his reaction? He will respond in submission and humility. He will become even wiser. How? Simply grasping the instruction, looking at himself, and repenting of his evil ways. This is how we become wiser, listening to correction humbly and changing our ways if it's necessary. This is what verse 6 again says, "Leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight." Brothers and sisters, if you cannot stand before correction, if you cannot endure confrontation or rebuking, you will remain foolish. You will remain in your sins. If you don't want your sins to be exposed by rebuking, but be secretly kept to yourself, probably you are going after Dame Folly's banquet, where everything remains secret. Dear congregation, which of them represents you? A scoffer or a wise man? If you can answer this question, you also can answer which invitation you have already accepted. What I want you to remember is that as long as you breathe, there will be hope. As long as you live, you can choose which invitation you will attend. But please do not delay. Do not delay. We never know when will be our last day. Come to Jesus and come now. Come to His table. Turn in here and enjoy even in this life the benefits of being part of God's family. The table is set and the doors are open, are wide open to everyone who wants to come in. Come and eat of the bread and drink of the wine, which is Christ's flesh and blood. By attending this gospel invitation, you will have the forgiveness of your sins, peace of conscience, a life full of the Spirit of God, a life of victory over your sin by sanctification. By attending this gospel invitation, you will have your days multiplied and years added to your life. You will have everlasting life, a whole eternity enjoying the delights of heaven in the presence of God Himself and His saints. However, brothers and sisters, if you reject this invitation and go to Dame Folly's banquet, although you will enjoy in a sweet and secret way your sins, you will be just there for a little while. It will be enjoyable, actually, for just a little while. And the same feelings that we read about David in Psalm 32 will be true in reality in your life without ceasing for all eternity. Your bone will waste away, and you will groan all eternity long, because the hand of God Himself will be heavy upon you without mercy, without common grace. Is that what you want? To live this short life in your sins and then suffer the eternal punishments of hell? Do you think that this is worth it? For me, it doesn't make any sense. It is illogical for me, actually. But do you know what is even more illogical than this? To consider that God Himself became flesh, became a man, and humble Himself to come to the earth and walk in the way of insight, being under the law. And even without sin, He receives the punishments of hell on the cross. Even without committing a single sin, He bore the heavy hand of God the Father so that you and I, unclean sinners, could be received as guests in His great feast in heaven, the feast of the gospel. Dear congregation, the door is open. Just come into Lady Wisdom's house, eat of her bread, drink of her wine, even tonight. Take part of this feast and choose life. Live your simple ways and live. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this urgent warnings of the gospel. Thank you because your gospel is far much better than anything in this world. And please open up our eyes to see this. Give us your spirit to see the wonderful things in your law, in your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.